Praised be Jesus and Mary. Today, according to a long Franciscan tradition, we celebrate the feast of the most precious blood of our Lord, Jesus Christ. And on this day, it is useful and salutary, beneficial to our souls to remember what Saint Peter reminds us of. In his first epistle, he was writing, St. Peter, the first pope, was writing to Christians who were from within and from without, from all sides, truly oppressed by the pagan decadence and moral depravity of their times, as we are today as well. And St. Peter reminds us, he says, "You were ransomed from your futile conduct, handed on by your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a spotless, unblemished lamb." We have been ransomed from our futile conduct, and not by any earthly price, but by the blood, by the precious blood of our Lord, that blood which flowed forth from his pierced side on the cross. And we have a duty to keep our garments clean and spotless, those baptismal garments which we have acquired through our Lord's blood. In another verse of the scriptures, in the book of the Apocalypse, St. John reminds us as well that blessed are they who wash their robes so as to have the right to the tree of life and to enter the city through its gates. What is the city? The heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the elect, of those who live in the grace of God and persevere in it. Outside instead, outside of this city are the dogs, the sorcerers, the unchaste, the murderers, the idol worshippers, and all who love and practice deceit. What we have to focus on today, and in this homily specifically, is that outside remain the unchaste, all those who have never been cleansed by the Lamb, or those who, having been cleansed, have stained their garments. And one of the greatest dangers to our Christian purity, to our Christian chastity today, is the immodesty in dress, which we see everywhere we look, can't get away from it. And as Our Lady of Fatima foretold, that certain fashions will come which will greatly offend our Lord, and it will be sins of the flesh that will cause the eternal ruin of most souls, will be the number one cause of the eternal ruin of souls. So we'll look at today at the remedy to immodesty, to impurity, and that is the virtue of modesty. And when we say modesty, we often hear it used in many different ways. We're not speaking here of being humble in one's opinion of self, or frugal in eating, or in one's choice of furniture, or whatever it might be. No, we're talking about the virtue of modesty that concerns one's way of dressing, and it aims at preserving another virtue, and that is the virtue of purity, of chastity, and it does so specifically by one's way of dressing. To dress modestly means to avoid deliberately causing occasions of sin, impure glances, impure desires, etc., in oneself or in one's neighbor. It means keeping hidden from the eyes of the world that which does not belong to it, and that which any self-respecting Christian person knows to keep veiled and hidden from the eyes of the world, of the lustful world. So outside the unchaste, the book of Revelation cries out, so to keep our baptismal garments unstained, washed in the blood of the Lamb and unstained, we must observe the virtue of Christian modesty. And the virtue of modesty is governed essentially by the words of our Lord in the Gospel, and they're very clear. "I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And that goes for those who deliberately look with lust, and for those who constitute the occasion of sin, for those who make others look. Now, those who object, "Well, you know, it's not my fault if somebody looks." Well, sure, if somebody commits suicide, well, we're not at fault. But we are at fault if we help him to commit suicide, or if we cause someone else to commit suicide, then yes, we are at fault. And both he and we will go to hell for it. We'll have to respond to the eternal judge for the loss of those two souls, ours and his, or of that person's. And of course, this goes for both men and women. For those who look, unfortunately, with lust, and those who make others look. But, and there must be a but here, it refers especially to women. And don't blame me for saying this. Here are the words of Pope Pius XII, probably the clearest papal pronouncement on the subject given by Pope Pius XII, he says, and I cite, "How many young girls are there who see nothing wrong in following certain shameless styles, like so many sheep? The good of our soul, instead, is more important than the good of our body, and we have to prefer the spiritual welfare of our neighbor to our bodily comforts." And what's the point the Pope is making? Here it is. If a certain kind of dress constitutes a grave and proximate occasion of sin and endangers the salvation of your soul and that of others, it is your duty to give it up. It might be fashionable. Everyone might be wearing it. Everyone might be saying it's okay. You might have never heard that it's not okay, but if it constitutes a grave and proximate occasion of sin to yourself and to others, it is your duty to give it up. And the Pope spares no one here. He talks to women who dress immodestly, but also, and he goes on, I go on citing, "Oh, Christian mothers, if you know what a future, if you only knew what a future of anxieties and dangers, of ill-guarded shame, you prepare for your sons and daughters, imprudently getting them accustomed to live scantily dressed and making them lose their sense of modesty, you would be ashamed of yourselves and you would dread the harm you are making for yourselves, the harm which you are causing to these children whom heaven has entrusted to you to be brought up as Christians." Something that all of us should know for ourselves, for the good of ourselves, for the good of our families, so that we might know this and tell it to others. Modesty is one of those forgotten virtues which no one dares ever speak of today, but it's just as urgent, all the more urgent today when, as the Pope says, so many Christians, so many Catholics, even inside our own very own churches, even inside our own churches, follow sheepishly the shameless styles of the world. Blessed instead are they who wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb and keep those garments pure, so as to have the right to enter the city through its gates. Outside of the city are the unchaste who stain those garments and who practice deceit. So we should all, those tempted to modesty, should all ask themselves, well, what good is it to have the admiration even of the whole world, to make heads turn left and right, but in the end, to lose both body and soul for all eternity? To lose that instrument of sin along with our souls for all eternity, what good is that? Instead, we should remember that the good of our body, that the good of our soul is more important than the good of our body, and we should have to prepare the spiritual welfare of our neighbor to even our bodily comforts. And if a certain kind of dress constitutes a grave occasion of sin, well, if it endangers your soul and that of others, there's only one conclusion, there's only one thing we can do, and that is, we have the duty of giving it up. We have the duty of giving that up. So we must look to Our Lady as the model of chastity, which means not necessarily imitating Our Lady in the way she dresses, in the way she's portrayed in her statues, in her images. Women don't have to go around dressed like nuns, neither do men have to go around dressed from head to toe. No, the imitation of Our Lady, when it comes to modesty, means having the fortitude, the courage to go against these popular, suggestive, and provocative styles, the courage to keep hidden from the eyes of the world that which does not belong to it. For the love of our own dignity, our own Christian dignity, for love of our neighbor, for love of God, and for love of that precious blood with which we have been washed and with which we have been redeemed. Praised be Jesus and Mary.